Oh my. Tuesday, September 10th, debate day. Welcome to Studio 2. I'm Avi Wolfman-Aaron.
And I'm Cherry Gregg. Avi, walking into work today looked a little bit different.
Just a bit.
8-foot high fences. I had to go through a checkpoint complete with Secret Service agents and a metal detector. The agents were serious. They didn't even laugh at my jokes.
And it was a great joke, too.
Good jokes. So why all the metal fences on a Tuesday? Well, because WHYY is adjacent to the center of politics today. The very first scheduled presidential debate between former President Donald Trump and Vice President Kamala Harris is happening not just in our neighborhood, but across the street from WHYY headquarters. Avi, we're adjacent to history.
Adjacent to history. I love it. When I saw the security, I thought, well, they really want to make sure Studio 2 goes off without a hitch today. Mm-hmm. But it turned out, no, it's for this big debate happening across the street. And we know you're aware of the debate, and you know that it's in Philadelphia. You can't really escape that news. But today is your chance to chime in,
yes,
to hear from some experts, to voice your opinion. And we've got two big questions for you this hour. Can I read them off, Cherry?
Read them off.
How are you feeling heading into tonight's debate? And what do you think your candidate needs to do to win over more voters tonight? Give us a call, 888-477-9499, or email studio2@whyy.org.
And I got to mention, we'll be taking the debate live right here on WHYY 90.9 and on WHYY TV 12. So I know there's going to be some watch parties and all kinds of stuff going on. This is the center of political universe in America right now.
And sadly, as we get into our trio of
local news stories.
Delaware is not center of the political universe today. is that your Delaware voice?
Yes.
Okay. We're both former residents of Delaware.
Yes.
Love Delaware. It does feel very Delaware that on the day of their primary, which you would think nothing else would be going on September 10th in politics, they are a bit overshadowed. But look, let's talk about
it. Yeah,
Delaware has its primary election today. It's a very late primary. Really two big races, I would say. The race for governor in Delaware on the Democratic side, it's a very Democrat-leaning state, features three major candidates: Lieutenant Governor Bethany Hall Long, Newcastle County Executive Matt Meyer, and former DenRec Secretary Colin O'Mara. That's the governor's race on the Democrat side. And then the race for Wilmington mayor is interesting on the Democrat side, because current governor John Carney is now running for mayor of Wilmington.
That's so interesting, yeah.
And he'll be competing against former Wilmington City Treasurer Veldo Jones Potter, another pretty big name in Wilmington. So that's an interesting race to spotlight. Again, primary day in the first state.
Yeah, the primary is a pretty big deal this year, though, because you have two longtime political leaders, Governor John Carney and Senator Tom Carper, both stepping out of the major roles in the state.
Right.
And we mentioned that Carper's going to He's running for mayor of Wilmington.
Yep. Hoping to stick around.
Yeah, hoping to stick around. It's so interesting, too. One of the reasons why when I moved to Delaware and lived there for a little over a year, I learned that Delaware has been heavily Democratic since the 90s, and Republicans had not won a governorship since the 80s.
So, been a while, yeah.
Yeah, it's been a while. So we'll be looking at that, and we'll see what the results are in the primary there in Delaware.
All right, enough Delaware. Back to Philadelphia.
So back to Philly. You remember that ad featuring an image of Vice President Kamala Harris with an Eagles helmet saying she was the official candidate for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Right.
Turns out it was fake. Yeah. Eagles spoke out against it.
It popped up at bus stops all across the city. Yeah.
Well, the artist who did the poster has claimed it, but his name is Winston Tseng, and he says he did make those posters, but doesn't really know how they ended up at a bus stop.
Oh, I hate when I make street art and just weirdly it ends up on the street.
It just popped
up. The gremlins, the fairies that come and take your street art and just start pasting it all over. So I feel for Winston that this happened, because obviously he had no intention of anyone seeing this art that seemed to be made for people to see. But that is his explanation. He made it. He didn't put it up.
Yeah, he says the work is a parody of the fact that sports teams seem to have an official everything, like a beer and a hot dog.
Yeah.
You know,
the official hot dog of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he also, you know, this is sort of a parody of the fact that, you know, why should people care about who celebrities or teams endorse
right.
in politics? And so, yeah, that was the message.
That was the message.
Mm-hmm.
And we heard it loud and clear. I was surprised, and the first time we talked about this topic on the show, I was not on the show that day, but I was listening.
Yeah.
And you and Shirley were saying that you were convinced by the original ad saying that the Philadelphia Eagles endorsed Kamala Harris.
Wow.
And I do have to call you out on that because that's absurd. You should not have been got by that.
Well,
way too many people got by this.
I didn't get got, but I saw when I initially saw it, I said, "What in the world?" And then a political influence, a social media influencer who we all know,
yeah,
is the one who tweeted it, and that sparked the backlash.
Within 5 seconds, you should have known that this is fake.
Yeah.
The Eagles teams do not endorse political candidates. They have no incentive to do that. They've never done that. And they didn't do it in this case.
Yeah, they did not do it.
But, all right.
He did say at the end, go Birds. So there you go.
Go Birds. And I think he called himself this. I didn't. In his statement, by the way, released to Billy Penn, he said that he is the official artist of the Philadelphia Eagles, which I like
wink,
that.
Wink, wink.
All right. So one more thing to get to today. And we're going to hop across the pond for this.
Ooh,
there
is.
Thank you, by the way, Philly Mag, for catching this. There is a menu item at McDonald's in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
It's a burger, two patties, some sort of liquid cheese on it, some pickles, and it's called the Philly Cheese Stack.
Mm.
Not the cheese steak, the Philly Cheese Stack. It's a limited time menu item at McDonald's in the UK. Not really sure why they used Philly to describe this burger, except, I guess, for the Cheese Whiz-like substance that appears to be on it. But I did want to play this clip, Cherry, of a review of the Philly Cheese Stack Burger from McDonald's UK. This is by foodreview.uk on TikTok. Let's take a listen.
The Philly Cheese Stack is the newest burger from McDonald's, part of their Halloween/October menu. And this is gooey, umptuous, indulgent. I like the double crunch from the onions, two different kinds of crunch. And the cheese sauce, absolutely love it. This is awesome. You should try it.
Mm.
First of all, I love that accent. This is
made
awesome.
It sound good. Yeah.
I love that accent. To me, it just was like a normal double cheeseburger. But they did have a regular
cheese.
It is two different types of cheese.
Right.
And you know how I feel about that fake liquid cheese.
You don't like it.
I think it's like disgusting.
Yeah,
but,
I do like it, but yeah.
But you know what? If they like it, I love it for them. I don't know if I would go. I am a McRib person. I don't know if I would run out and buy this double Philly cheese stack.
I didn't know that about you. Wow.
We get to know each other.
Okay.
You know?
So can I just, I have a couple comments on this.
Mm-hmm.
One, so this is a special menu item that comes in like September, October for Halloween. I don't understand.
The
why
type
is it a Halloween
thing?
Why is the Cheese Whiz Halloween? I would love if you're listening, you're from Britain, you know British people, you could get us an answer to that. studio2@whyy.org. It's also very interesting to me, like what, you know, food items, movies, songs get like associated with the place that you live, where you're from. And obviously Cheese Whiz, people code that Philly. But I will tell you, in my travels abroad, the food item that people most associate with Philadelphia is not the cheesesteak.
A hoagie?
Mm-mm.
What?
Cream cheese.
Oh, Philadelphia cream.
Okay. And that's a weird one, right? Because
yeah.
It's not, the company's not here. It's not.
I would have never guessed that.
But if you go abroad, people will call cream cheese Philadelphia. I'm serious.
Wow.
Yeah, it's. I have found that Rocky and cream cheese are the two things most associated with Philadelphia.
I would have never known that. By the way, I want to read a couple of these tweets from Londoners who love this Philly cheese stack. One said, I lost count how many I had. Easily the best burger I've had from there.
Read it with the British accent.
I lost count how many I had. Easily the best burger I've had from there. And then, oh boy,
okay.
The Philly cheese stack is back at Macca's. And they call McDonald's Macca's.
Yeah.
What a time to be alive.
Can I ask you real quick, Cherry, the fact that
my accent was bad.
It was
so
great.
Please
can
don't
I ask you real
be
quick,
mad
though?
At me, people.
Can I ask you real quick?
Yes.
The fact that this exists, the Philly cheese stack, would you say you are chuffed or gutted?
I don't even know. I don't even want to pick one of those two. I would say chuffed, right. But I don't know.
You're chuffed. There you go. You're proper chuffed.
Okay.
We had way too much fun with that. Coming up next, let's get into the meat, the beef of
yes,
the conversation.
And the cheese.
We're going to talk about the highly anticipated presidential debate tonight between Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump. Again, the big question today, how are you feeling heading into tonight's debate? What do you think your candidate needs to do to win over more voters tonight? Give us a call, 888-477-9499, or email studio2@whyy.org. We'll take a big old bite out of that coming up on Studio 2.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
I'm Sam Marsh.
Yeah, I'm a little nervous.
I think there are at least some who are just hoping that she's a viable candidate, you know, who don't want to vote for Trump but want to make sure that she's a decent choice.
Sarah Walmsley. I think that if both parties stick to this line of it's all my way or all your way, then the people that are on the fence won't have a clear answer.
Those were just some of the voices of folks walking in Manioc this morning, courtesy of our producers. Welcome back to Studio 2. I'm Cherry Gregg.
And I'm Avi Wolfman-Arendt. It is no secret at this point. Philadelphia is the center of the political universe right now. The first and potentially only presidential debate between former President Trump and Vice President Harris is tonight at 9, right across the street from us at the National Constitution Center.
Avi, it is very, very exciting. I mean, who knows how this debate could impact the race with Trump and Harris essentially neck and neck in the polls. There's a lot at stake for both of them. And joining us to talk about what each candidate needs to accomplish on that stage tonight, their strengths and weaknesses, the tactics and pitfalls, is a trio of guests. We have J.J. Balaban, Democratic ad maker for Technicolor Political. JJ, welcome.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Yes, we also have Vincent Gauco, Republican strategist with Mercury Public Affairs, and Diana Mutz, professor of political science and communication at the University of Pennsylvania. Vincent, Diana, welcome.
Great to be here.
Hello, great to be here as well.
And of course, we want to hear from you. How are you feeling heading into tonight's debate? What do you think your candidate needs to do to win over more voters tonight? Give us a call, 888-477-9499, or email studio2@whyy.org.
So when we had our last debate preview show, it was June 27th, the day of the Biden-Trump debate, and we thought that debates mattered less than they eventually turned out to matter. And so I want to talk about the stakes for tonight. How big of a deal is this presidential debate? And lay out your argument. I want to start with you, JJ. What are the stakes?
Well, this is public radio, so I won't curse, but I believe that it's President Biden who once referred to BFD, a big deal, when Obamacare was signed. And I would say that that is probably also the case for this debate, because we've really never had a presidential election exactly like this. You know, in other countries, they have these snap elections, right? In Great Britain and in other countries where, you know, they dissolve parliament and then the election's like 6 weeks or 8 weeks later. This is the closest maybe that we're ever, I think that it's the closest, at least in a long time in this country, for having this short an election period. Right. By which I mean that Vice President Harris still remains, you know, not widely known. Her name is very well known. Right. She's universal name recognition. But the number of people that really feel like they've kind of seen her in action is pretty small. I mean, I'm someone who follows politics for a living, and I don't feel like I even have a really strong sense and image of who she is. And so this is just going to be the brightest imaginable lights under which for her to perform.
And Vince, your thoughts?
Sure. I believe the stakes are incredibly high for Vice President Harris. As you mentioned, the June debate may go down as the most impactful debate in the history of this country, as the outcome of the debate led to one of the leading candidates getting out of the race. This debate might be one of the most unique in the history of this country because, as JJ explained, we've never been in this position before where you have a candidate who's basically sprinting to the finish. For those of us who work a lot of campaigns, the old saying is, you know, campaigns are marathons, not sprints. There's a lot of ups and downs, ebbs and flows with campaigns. But in the case of the Harris campaign, it truly is a sprint. So I think, you know, the stakes are high for her, more so than former President Trump. President Trump more or less has a ceiling where he's at. There's not much more we can learn about President Trump. There's not much more exposure he can get. So the lights are going to be very bright on Vice President Harris.
And Diana, your thoughts?
Sure. I mean, just to be a bit ornery, I would say the stakes could be high for both of them in that I think people, yes, they don't know Harris nearly as well as they feel they know Trump. But on the other hand, they're also looking for Trump to show a certain amount of self-control and for, you know, him to come across differently than perhaps he has in while campaigning. And although this is a relatively short campaign by recent American standards, it's also true that we know most effects are very short-lived. Mm-hmm. And it's quite a while until the election in most Americans' minds, in the sense that the general length of time that it takes for any kind of positive or negative effect to disintegrate is a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. So unless it's something, you know, monumental like the Trump-Biden debate was, and it generates an ongoing stream of media coverage emphasizing whatever that issue is or, you know, potential controversy is that the debate brings up, unless that gets sustained over time, it seems doubtful that it's going to influence people in November. Now, again, some states have early voting and, you know, there are some people who've already voted. So. Yeah.
So we shall see. Let me bring in a caller now. And by the way, our big question, how are you feeling heading into tonight's debate? And also, what do you think your candidate needs to do to win over more voters tonight? And this caller is Bill from Mount Airy, who is excited. Bill, how are you feeling?
I am excited because I like having participating in the democratic process. But I do think that nobody's mind's going to be made up tonight. These candidates are so different that everybody knows how they feel about Trump. If they like him, they're going to vote for him. If they don't like him, they vote for anybody, including a rock. And so, you know, not the country. And, you know, so I don't think there's a whole lot at stake tonight. And the people who voted for Robert Kennedy are probably just going to sit out this election because they're so disappointed and they're crazy anyway. So, you know, that's my opinion. And I think many people share my opinion.
Well, there's Bill from Mount Airy not holding back. Diana Mutz, let me redirect that to you because I feel like that's what you were getting at, right? The idea that people are pretty entrenched, and if there's an effect, it's going to be short-lived. I mean, you're rooting that in historical data and anecdotal data. I mean, what are you rooting that analysis in?
Yeah, historically, when people have tried to scientifically study the effects of debates, first of all, you know, most people see the candidate that they already liked as the winner, and the other person as a loser. So it tends to reinforce their pre-existing perspectives on who the better candidate is. Beyond that, if you do get people to watch who are not already pre-committed to one side or another, that's great. It could have an influence on them. But again, the kind of influence that media performances like this tend to have tend to be pretty short-lived. The Trump-Biden debate, yes, it's going to go down in history as an absolute exception to the idea that debates have fairly limited effects. On the other hand, I do think we are expecting high turnout, which means many people who aren't, you know, hardcore Republicans and Democrats may indeed be watching.
I want to read this email from Sarah, who says, I feel hugely anxious about the debate, partly because I think the press has way underplayed former President Trump's apparent cognitive decline. Tonight's stakes are hugely important. Belinda from New Jersey says, I'm angry that my candidate Jill Stein, who was on the ballot across the country, will not be on that debate stage. And so I want to get JJ and Vince to weigh in on this question. I mean, there are voters. I know that the number of folks who are undecided at this point, that number of voters is very small. But who does each candidate need to be drawing in and shoring up in their coalition? And JJ, I'll start with you.
Sure. Look, I'd say, particularly to Bill's comment earlier, I think it's hard for people like Vince and I, who follow politics all the time and who do this for a living, to always keep in mind that there are a lot of like people in our city, in the region, certainly in Pennsylvania, who really don't think about this, who think about it maybe 1 minute a week, if that, who are just becoming aware that there's a presidential election happening. And yes, they know stuff, but there hasn't been a focus on it. And again, it's really hard because when you follow politics, you think, how could anyone be undecided, right? I can understand how people could have a different opinion, but how could anyone be undecided? But that there really are people, persuasion is a thing. And this debate, while those people that are the most persuadable, admittedly, they may not be the most inclined to watch a debate this evening instead of, you know, caring for their kids or doing other things, they will likely hear about it, right, through this giant media echo chamber. And so it really does matter, right? I think it's very clear that this debate does matter, and not just because one side may leave more energized if their candidate does better and one side might leave more depressed, which we certainly saw after the first debate.
Yeah.
And Vince, did you want to follow up on that?
Sure. I think that JJ said it very well. I think that, you know, the amount of undecided voters in this campaign is very limited at this point. I mean, you're talking probably the size of a Beaver Stadium football mm-hmm. crowd is going to determine the election here in Pennsylvania. On top of that, you know, most voters don't watch debates. Those who watch debates are usually partisan. They're rooting for their candidate or against their candidate. And in this case, many voters are just tuning in to see what President Trump might say next for the entertainment value. So it's very hard to reach those people. But the importance of this debate is not only what happens on the stage tonight, but what happens in the echo chamber 10 minutes after the debate, what happens tomorrow morning, what happens you know, on social media and the news coverage for the next, you know, 72 hours, how that's all spun. What are the sound bites to come away from it? What are the, you know, the body language that, you know, maybe picked up on somebody. So it's all going to be determined on how it's spun and how each candidate relates to the voters. Nowadays, you know, so much of these elections, the issues are not in the forefront. It's more about, you know, perception, personality. Do you like someone, not like them? Not so much drilling down on issues. But I do believe these discerning, undecided voters do care about the issues. So there may be some points taken out of tonight's debate, either from former President Trump mm-hmm. or Vice President Harris, that a voter had not heard before, or maybe had the wrong idea about right, someone, yeah. someone's position.
And by the way, we are talking about tonight's mm-hmm. debate on Studio 2. Our guests are JJ Balaban, Vince Galco, and Diana Mutz. Call us, give us your opinion. We want to know how you're feeling heading into tonight's debate. What do you think your candidate needs to do to win over more voters? 888-477-9499. And let's bring in a caller right now. This is Anthony from Philly. Anthony, you're on Studio 2. What's your question or comment?
Hi, my comment was just that I think this debate matters tonight because Harris in a recent CNN poll wasn't leading in Pennsylvania by a couple points, and Pennsylvania is a big swing state in this election, which could decide the election.
Yeah.
So even small little talking points can make a big change.
Absolutely.
That's my comment.
That's a great point, Anthony, and it goes to what Vince was talking about. You know, Beaver Stadium, where Penn State plays, 100,000 people or something like that, but that could be the deciding margin in a place like Pennsylvania. Let me read this note now from Sammy, who says, if I were Kamala Harris, each time after Trump speaks, I would say, pause your television and count how many verifiable lies were just told. Diana Mutz, when you get into rhetorical style and you're talking about someone debating Donald Trump, which we've now seen many, many times, Is it better, do you think, to sort of address him or ignore him?
Well, I don't think you have much of a choice but to respond in this particular setting. They're both in the same room, and the journalists are going to direct them to respond to the other's comments. But I think the previous caller did make an important point in that the extent to which journalists after the fact, the next day, the next week, and so forth, carry the emphases of this debate forward is going to matter a lot. Particularly, even though, you know, we all know Trump is a known entity, I do think I've noticed, I live right outside of Philadelphia in the close in suburbs, and I've been getting probably 5 mailings a day from Trump.
Yes.
And I can see how, as a voter, you would read those and you'd say, oh, he holds this issue position? I thought he held this other issue position. And one of the benefits of a focal event like a national debate, when everybody's watching at the same time, which is usually not the case, we all read and watch different things, we all are going to hear the same thing. So it's a chance to hear the candidates stake out their positions in a way that is difficult to go back on one way or another. That is, people have to, you know, say how they feel about, you know, abortion, say how they feel about immigration, inflation, et cetera, and what they would do. And that's on the record simultaneously for people on both sides who are watching. And I think that's a really important thing. Again, it's very easy to present things that are true in a sense, but not really true, and so forth. I don't think there's a lot of evidence that fact-checking after the fact is going to make much difference, but I do think it can change the conversation moving forward.
Yeah, and I want to bring in a caller who has a comment on that point. Donna from Pensauken, you're on Studio 2. What's your comment or question?
Hi. Hello. I really am nervous about tonight because the commentators need to fact-check them in real time, because otherwise then the other person is taking all their time to answer and prove them wrong instead of actually talking about their policies.
Yeah, thank you so much, Donna. And so that goes to my question to JJ and Vince about the strategy for each candidate. I mean, and we can start with Harris because she's a former prosecutor. The mics will be muted unless it is their specific turn to talk. What needs to be her strategy to, number one, fact check, you know, Trump Live? Should she do that? And then also make sure she has a message and allows folks to really learn more about who she is. And we'll start with you, JJ.
Look, I think there are a bunch of things. Again, I think more important than what she says is the affect that people feel, right? Television is an emotive medium. And, you know, she, I think, wisely has chosen not to make what I'm about to say a central part of her campaign. But it's pretty important to acknowledge that we have never had a woman as president. And there was a lot of focus about this during Secretary Clinton's campaign in 2016. And Vice President Harris hasn't talked about that a lot. And that's a good strategy. But it is really important to understand that we are asking voters in this country, we being people like me that are Democrats, to do something that has never been done before and to be comfortable with that. Mm-hmm. And not just a woman, but a woman of color as well. And so if she can make people comfortable and imagine that she can be president and that that's someone who they want to have in their lives, that is going to be have a lot more impact than, you know, how specific is she on her precise plan to lower the cost of insulin or any detail like that. She also has a very difficult challenge of figuring out, and frankly, I'm not sure how she should do it, figuring out when to respond to President Trump's lies. And, you know, I'm going to call them lies, but, you know, he will say things during the debate like he said in the first debate when he, you know, said the cost of food had tripled, which it hasn't, not even close. It's gone up like 20% or something. How often she wants to respond to that. I think if she chooses to respond, she'll be playing defense the entire game if she chooses to respond on everything. Mm. So my guess is she will sometimes say, hey, look, I got to respond to this. And other times she's just going to let it pass. Because, again, otherwise she'll be playing defense the entire game and never get to put out her
own message. Define herself. Yes, exactly.
Correct.
Right. I agree with that. And I think that her affirmative argument for herself is also something she needs to spend time on, not so much just correcting Trump or going after Trump. And interestingly, even though, yes, this would be a first for a female president, and people need to be comfortable with that, part of what we find in our research is that the sense of fear of favoritism towards certain groups in society is actually far greater surrounding race than it is gender. Mm. And that's interesting because, of course, she is both. And as a result, in some ways, I think back to the kinds of things that President Obama said, emphasizing, I'm going to be everyone's president. I'm not going to be a president for African Americans or for specific groups and so forth. Mm. I think that hesitancy, particularly among people in the middle, also has to be addressed.
Yeah. And on that note, EJ from Philadelphia mm-hmm. says people need to see that Harris will not be bulldozed by world events. She's got to get the voters who don't want to vote for her, but also don't want to vote for Trump. She's got to lay out that she can be tough, like, say, Thatcher or Merkel or other successful female leaders. She's not alone out there.
Yeah.
That's EJ's perspective. Vince Galco, a Republican strategist with Mercury Public Affairs, I want to ask you about Trump, because a lot of our emails are about Harris, and we get why. This is, in some ways, sort of her debut on this stage. But look, Trump has potential pitfalls, too, and he has to navigate what type of style he should sort of lay out there and perform. What should be his approach during this debate?
Sure. I think there's two strategies when it comes to debates. You know, you have the pre-debate strategy, which is really setting the expectation game. You've already seen that in the last 48 hours. The Harris campaign will come out and say Trump is a very gifted debater and we hope to keep up with him, trying to lower the bar a little bit so she will exceed it, and Trump campaign will do similar actions. I think Trump needs to be careful not to underestimate the vice president. She obviously is a prosecutor. She's done well in debates in the past, so not to go in too overconfident on this one. But also, you know, during the debate, I think it's very important for him to bring the debate back to the current situation. A lot of us feel, I think most public would say, President Biden got out of the race because he had health issues or maybe because of his age. And that's kind of the narrative that's out there. But the reality is President Biden was forced out of the race by his party because he was so unpopular that he was going to most likely lose and have a really bad effect on the down ticket Democrats as well. So Trump needs to refocus this, saying that Vice President Harris has been part of this administration, right, you know, hand in hand with President Biden on many of the disastrous policies that have hurt the country. So refocus that back on what's happening and try to not allow Harris to distance herself from the Biden administration. The other thing that was brought up on this conversation was that, you know, Trump sometimes has a tendency to exaggerate. And I believe there's a method to his madness. He exaggerates for effect. Perfect example was just a few minutes ago, we were talking about rising prices. Well, JJ came forth and said prices had risen 20%. So even though Trump may have exaggerated saying tripled, he has Democrats admitting the fact that prices have gone up 20% under the Biden-Harris administration. So he does that quite often, where he'll say something that may be stretching the truth or an exaggeration, but then the next thing you know, you have the media or people in the Democratic Party saying, no, Trump lied. Mm-hmm. He didn't go up 30%, he went up 20%. Well, they're making his case for him, because the voters will say, well,
so you're saying he's got to lie more tonight, is what you're saying, Vince.
Still 20%. Why say he exaggerates for effect?
You got it.
The other reality is that, you know, the Trump campaign strategy is very much different than Trump in action. I think it's very hard to, you know, come up with a strategy. President Trump is first and foremost has been a successful entertainer in most of his life, whether on TV or other. So he believes he can go out and do what he's done in the past and somewhat overpower and charm the audience to an extent, yeah, as opposed to traditional campaign strategy. Got so it. I think the Trump campaign is a very difficult task.
And hold that thought.
We got a lot more coming up with Vince Galco, Diana Mutz, JJ Balaban, talking about tonight's debate. Email your thoughts to studio2@whyy.org, and we will be right back.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
Josh Kroll, West Philly. I really think people are looking tonight at this debate to just reinforce what they already believe.
Another voice there from Main Street, Manny Young. Welcome back to Studio 2. I'm Avi Wolfman-Aaron.
And I'm Cherry Gregg. We're talking about tonight's big event, the debate between former President Trump and Vice President Harris, happening right across the street from us at the National Constitution Center. And let me reintroduce our guests. We have J.J. Balaban, Democratic ad maker for Technicolor Political. We have Vince Galco, Republican strategist with Mercury Public Affairs. And we have Diana Mutz, professor of political science and communication at the University of Pennsylvania.
And of course, we have you. And we want to know from you this hour, what do you think your candidate needs to do to win over more voters tonight? What advice would you give to your candidate? Email us, studio2@whyy.org, or call 888-477-9499.
Yeah, I want to read this email from Holly, who says, I think there will be record viewership, but I doubt it will make a significant difference. Trump supporters accept Trump as he is. I was excited after the convention, but there seems to be a loss of momentum. I doubt it will be recaptured by this debate. That's how Holly feels. I want to now talk about the rules of the debate a little bit, because this debate is 90 minutes. There's no studio audience. And three rules stand out to me as possibly impactful to the candidates and their style. The candidates' microphones will be muted unless it's their turn to speak. They are not permitted to ask questions of each other. And there is no live audience. JJ, I want to ask you, how do you think these rules specifically will impact Harris's ability to reach her goals and to accomplish the things she needs to accomplish in tonight's debate?
I think these rules, as I understand it, and Vince, you can correct me, I believe that these rules were mostly the rules that were agreed to back when it was President Biden. Then there was talk about changing the rules and that they didn't. I may be misremembering that. I think it is interesting. There was a really whole big controversy about whether or not the microphones should be muted when the other candidate is speaking, because it is a fair bet. If you look at President Trump's prior debates, he tries to do things to disrupt his opponent. So, for example, he famously kind of started skulking around Secretary Clinton during the 2016 debate. And it is a fair bet whether or not he is, a mobile quarterback and is moving around during tonight's debate, we can just guess. But he is going to try to do things to disrupt her. Now, what's interesting is the Harris campaign was pushing for the microphones to be live the entire time. I'm guessing their reasoning was that voters would be turned off by hearing Trump's interjections. And indeed, back in the year 2000, when Vice President Gore was debating then Governor George Bush, Al Gore was criticized for sighing when George W. Bush said things, and it was said that that turned off voters. I'm not sure that, given what Donald Trump has done in the 8 years since he kind of entered the national scene, the national political scene, I'm not sure that hearing him do the Trump show in a debate would be a huge turnoff. So I think the rules will be fine, and both candidates will have a chance to get their message across.
If I can just the lack of or the muted microphones will make it easier to cut Trump off. And, if we look at their acceptance speeches at their respective conventions, we know the issue with Trump is that he tends to go on and on. And I think that can come across very poorly because you're talking over the other person as well as over the moderators. And I think that's part of the reason unmuted microphones may have been preferable to Harris's side, because he does come across as more, you know, bullying and so forth. And I think that lack of audience is actually something that is also important. I think from the perspective of people learning or hearing anything they say, that's obviously a plus. But it's also true that, you know, Trump likes cheering audiences. He likes rallies much mm-hmm. better than this kind of debate format, because they're all about, you know, getting people excited.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let me read these two emails in tandem. This is first Dave from Winfield, who says, what's more important right now than convincing undecided voters is driving turnout. The debate can be important for the Harris campaign in encouraging young people and other groups to turn out the polls in significant numbers because they're excited about her candidacy. That's what Dave says. And here's an email from Monica, who says, I do not think the Harris campaign is taking seriously enough the number of faithful Democratic voters who will not be voting for her unless she comes out far more vocally in support of Palestinian people being slaughtered in Gaza. And I read those in tandem because I do think there's a significant, at least part of our audience, and maybe the voters in general, who would like Harris to tack left and to rally the base. I'll ask you first, Vince, and then I'll go to JJ. What do you make of that as a strategy?
Well, if I was advising President Trump, I would be telling him to let Vice President Harris talk as much as possible, yield as much time back to her as possible on issues like the terrorism and Hamas terrorist organization and support for it, or other issues like banning fracking in Pennsylvania, rising cost of inflation. Right now, the vice president has benefited more or less from being a generic candidate. I think a lot of her numbers are inflated because she's still falling into that anybody but Trump category. If you had to vote for any Democrat, the more people learn about her, the more her policies are known to voters. They'll have to make a choice whether they agree with them or not agree with them. But her policies right now are still a little bit unknown to most voters. Mm-hmm. So I think the more that the president allows, the former president allows her to talk tonight, the better. Now, that's a strategy. The reality is Mr. Trump is a showman. He likes to talk, so he will not want to yield much time back to her. But I do think if I was advising him, especially when certain issues come up, certain topics, let her talk as much as possible so that she may either may make a mistake, say something that doesn't play well with voters in Georgia or Pennsylvania that they can capitalize on in the closing weeks of the campaign.
Yeah, JJ, can I get you in on this topic as well? The idea of rallying the base as a strategy during this debate, what do you make of that? And are there particular issues here? Maybe it's Gaza, maybe it's fracking, that are real potential stumbling blocks for Harris. How would you advise her?
Yeah, I mean, look, the data is pretty clear in this regard, right? There is a very vocal and online population that is concerned and thinks that she should turn left on the issue of Israel versus the Palestinians. The data is pretty clear that that's actually the opposite is the case in terms of where voters in terms of just where voters are. Now, that's hard, right? Because everyone likes to think that everyone agrees with them. But again, the data is pretty clear on that. Similarly,
you're talking about
fracking,
polling data here.
Yeah, I'm talking about polling data. Not one poll, not, you know, you never want to judge based on one poll because there can be all sorts of funny business that happens with that, but over lots of data. Similarly, with fracking, it's very clear when you have Senator Fetterman and Governor Shapiro and Senator Casey, all Democrats in very good standing, recognizing that fracking is important to the economy of Pennsylvania. The idea that, I think Vice President Harris has quite correctly, from a political perspective, leave aside the substance, has quite correctly determined that what she said in 2020 isn't her position, hasn't actually been the position of the Biden-Harris administration. The Biden-Harris administration has allowed fracking, and that she will continue those policies. I think that if
and that won't turn
decide,
off the base, you don't think?
No. Well, so far, again, the evidence is very clear that since Vice President Harris replaced replace Joe Biden at the top of the ticket, you have seen kind of an enormous outpouring of enthusiasm. Mm. And so the people that are saying that are, again, that's just at odds with what's been seen and in every poll that's been taken. Mm. And so fundamentally, if people want to cut off their nose to spite their face and say, well, no, because you don't agree with me 100%, I'm going to do something that empowers Donald Trump, who will be worse on all of their issues. If people decide to do that, I mean, you can't stop them. But the idea of running a campaign geared to talking to those people is pretty much a road to nowhere.
Yeah, and if you're just tuning in, we're previewing tonight's presidential debate, which is happening right across the street from WHYY headquarters. How are you feeling heading into tonight's debate? What do you think your candidate needs to do to win over more voters? Tonight, you can call us. The number is 888-477-9499 or email studio2@whyy.org. Jordan from Clifton Heights emails, I think Kamala has the biggest opportunity here if she establishes why exactly she's different from Biden. I don't think she will have a hard time dealing with Trump, but I feel like people are still waiting on more clarity on what kind of president she intends to be. So, Diana, I want to talk about the issues a little bit, because the big issues, economy, abortion, immigration, the war in Gaza, are there others? And what, you know, what are you hearing from voters as far as what they need to hear to shore up that coalition on both sides?
I think, you know, you've touched on the big issues, but I think that when it comes to these issues you talked about, the ones where there really are opposing sides are the ones that are most likely to matter, like abortion. Nobody's in favor of inflation, and at least in our research, we have found that people's attitudes toward who's to blame for inflation are either the opposing party or they think that they have very little control over it, regardless, either party. So, you know, it becomes more blunted when it comes to voting. On the other hand, I would agree that, you know, there is nothing to be gained for her to go toward the left in this situation. She's already a female and a minority candidate. Both of those things tend to make voters think that you're more left-leaning than you are because of their associations with those stereotypes. But, you know, the abortion issue is really what mattered a great deal in 2022. It lifted turnout in the midterm election, and it was particularly effective in turning out people who, you know, were worried about what happened to Roe v. Wade. And I suspect that will still be the case. I know there's an attempt, you know, on Trump's part to try to blunt that impact, but I think that's still out there, and I think it's going to matter a great deal, both to turnout and to actual direction of voting behavior. Changing election outcomes by changing turnout is really tough, because Americans are really habitual people about either voting or not voting,
yeah,
both ways. And so you also, by increasing turnout, you've got to, you know, get people to turn out just on your side, if
right,
that's going to be your strategy. And we know turnout drives both directions. It's split. You're going to, some people in 2020.
Equal and opposite reactions, out, right? Yeah.
Yep, exactly. Yep.
Let me just read this email from Jane as we start to wrap up, because we're talking about this debate. And I will say, I'll raise my hand here and say, I don't really enjoy watching debates. I don't tend to like the format. And I'm turned off by a lot of the posturing in the political theater. And here's an email from Jane who says, I wish the debate moderators would ask each candidate the same specific policy question and give them appropriate time to answer. The current debate format seems mostly to show which candidate is faster on their feet. And that isn't really helpful to know who would be the better president. Mm. All right, Diana, we're starting to wrap up. This is a very big picture question, so you can take it in chunks. But is there a way to improve debates in general? Would you change the format if we made you sort of monarch here? Is there something you would do to change debates?
Yes, I would. But I would say also that people's willingness to listen to them is limited.
Yeah.
So giving them more time to give long, thoughtful responses, the problem is you lose your audience, and you particularly lose an audience who's in the middle and undecided. So that's the real problem there.
Yeah, I heard someone say that the debate, this is show business, right?
Yeah.
And you got to
yeah.
make a show. And so as we get ready to wrap up, you know, if we were having this conversation tomorrow, which we will right here on Studio 2. But I want to know what you'll be looking for and what you'll be paying attention to, Vince. What will you be paying attention to? What are some of the takeaways you were expecting from tonight?
Sure. I'm looking for whether or not President Trump is able to keep it debate issue focused, keep the pressure on Vice President Harris talking about the issues that we've enumerated here today, or will it turn into a personality battle of insults back and forth? I think if Trump is able to keep it issue focused, keep the heat on Harris, making her answer questions regarding the top issues of today, I think he'll come out the victor.
Yeah. JJ, your thoughts. What are you looking for tonight?
I'm looking for Vice President Harris to really introduce herself in a meaningful way to a bunch of people. I'm much more interested in watching her than President Trump. I think President Trump, as Vince acknowledged, he's going to be who he's going to be. That doesn't mean it doesn't matter. It just means that I think we can guess we're probably not going to see a new Trump.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to see the same person. And, you know, that has been a person who's never really gotten that close to getting 50% of the vote. And whether or not, mm-hmm. you know, the anti-Trump coalition is more than 50%. What was very clear with President Biden was the pro-Biden coalition was significantly lower
right,
than that.
Right.
The more that Vice President Harris can get to that.
Yeah. Get to that mark. And real quick, Diana, you
sure.
are giving us the last thought today in about 20 seconds. What are you looking for tonight?
I will be very interested in whether Harris gets under Trump's skin, because although, you know, he is what he is and we know what to expect, I do think he has a much harder time interacting with her than he has with previous candidates. And I'll be looking at how this debate sets the agenda for what people are going to be talking about getting closer to the election itself.
And we will leave it there. By the way, this is the first time that Trump and Harris will meet in person tonight at the debate. Thank you so much to JJ Balaban, Democratic ad maker for Technicolor Political, Vince Galco, Republican strategist, Diana Mutz, professor at the University of Pennsylvania. That wraps up our show for today.
It sure does. That is it for Studio 2. Our show is produced by Debbie Builder, Paige Marie Bessler, and Andreas Copes. Our executive producer is Kevin McCory. Al Banks is our engineer from Studio 2 at WHYY, right across the street from the National Constitution Center in Philadelphia. I'm Avi Wolf-Manera.
And I'm Cherry Gregg. Thanks for joining us. We'll have the debate live on WHYY 90.9 beginning at 9 o'clock.